Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, reading verse 5 through 12, picking up where we left off last week. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, asking for understanding, asking for illumination. We would want to know what the text says, and by all means, we would see Jesus Christ, just as the man said. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to help me to preach and to help those listening to hear. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000s, the pearl of great price. I could go on and on, but we're careful to give him the praise, him the glory, him the honor, him the majesty. And we praise his name. We worship his mighty name. And in that wonderful, precious name, amen. Now we went over half of this already. We talked about the great miracle and the man's great faith and what have you. And it's a wonderful miracle. But today I'd like to look at Jesus' commentary, verse 10 through 12. When he heard the man's faith, he marveled, it said. And he said, I haven't found anybody with such great faith. I mean, I've been preaching these years or months, however long it was. I've been all over Israel, north and south, I suppose. And I haven't found anybody yet that had this kind of faith. But we said last time that this man was not a Jew. He was a Roman. And he was a soldier at that, just sent into the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, sent to safeguard the interests of Rome. He really didn't have a dog in this fight. But he heard of the Lord and exercised faith. And Jesus said that his faith was greater than anyone else's faith that he had seen in all the time that he had been ministering. But then he says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And when I read that, I think of when the Queen of the South came and met with Solomon and looked at the things of the temple and what have you, and marveled and glorified God. But what Jesus is saying that in the end, when the kingdom is set up finally, when this life is over, that many shall come, many Gentiles, really, shall come and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that to me, and we talked about this last time, that's a wonderful thing, the ingathering of the Gentiles. We said that the isles will wait for his law. And here in America, we're an isle, as relative to the nation of Israel. We're just some island somewhere out there. Obviously across the Atlantic. Obviously not an island, but a continent. But that's about the only reference you get in the Bible to this nation, America. But he says in verse 12, after he mentions all the Gentiles coming into the kingdom, but it says the children of the kingdom, or the Jewish nation, shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've said it many times. To understand the Gospels, you need to recognize that each one of them presents Jesus Christ from a different perspective. And Matthew portrays Jesus as king, coming to his kingdom, the king of the Jews, coming to take account. The Jews had thousands of years to see what they could do with the light from God, the Word of God. Maybe they didn't have the full understanding of the gospel, but that was their job, to present God to the world. But Christ comes as a king, coming to take account. And there's a number of parables that we could, and eventually when we get to them, we'll go over that discuss exactly that. We understand that many people follow the Lord when he was here preaching for 3.5 years. But in the end, he was condemned of the religious leadership. And he was put to death. And we understand that that's a wonderful thing. That he's the Lamb of God. And as the high priest said, it's good for one man to die for the whole nation, and that the whole nation would perish. We understand he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was God's will that Jesus come to die. He did a great many miracles. He gave fantastic sermons or speeches, let's say. He showed compassion. He showed mercy. He's fantastic. But he came to die. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Israel, comes to Israel to take account. And in the end, they reject him and nail him to a cross. In A.D. 70, we understand that Jesus died somewhere around A.D. 32, 33, 34, something like that. But less than 40 years later, in A.D. 70, the nation of Israel was judged. Rome sent their generals. A name that comes to mind would be Titus. Rome said enough was enough, and they made a spectacle of the nation of Israel. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, but in A.D. 70, 1.1 million Jews were crucified. Remember they said at his trial, or what have you, let his blood be upon our hands and upon our heads. That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. Their guilt for putting him to death. The Son of God, remember, not just some man and not some malefactor, but the Son of God, the King of Israel. They put him to death. They were repaid by God in A.D. 70. The nation destroyed. The city destroyed, the temple destroyed, and the Jews, those that remained, were scattered to every nation of the world. And it wasn't until 1948 that that nation came back into being. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? In the rest of the chapter, Jesus answers those three questions. But look what he said in verse 2. The disciples came and said, Hey, look at all the wonderful things of the temple, what have you. And it was a great temple. It took 40 years to build, what have you. But Jesus said, There won't be one stone stacked upon another that will not be thrown down. And in A.D. 70, that's exactly what happened. The king came to take account. Israel was put in the balance and found wanting. And judgment fell. If the boss comes to say, okay, let's see how you did. If you did well, you get a pat on the back, maybe a raise, what have you. If you didn't do well, maybe you get fired. We understand the concept of being approved or being disapproved. That's what happened to Israel. And it's a fearful thing what happened to Israel. So someone may ask, what about the Jews? They were scattered to every nation in the world. Their temple destroyed. Their city ransacked. In the horror, 1.1 million Jews were crucified. Again, let his blood be upon our hands. But we said last time that salvation is of the Jews. You know, reading prophecy, sometimes it's hard to understand. And reading, not prophecy, but just regular Bible passages, sometimes it's hard to understand. You see, there's exegesis, the Greek word, and what it means is, hey, what's in the text? What does the text say? And that's what we should do. We should be good Bereans. The Bereans said, hey, Paul, that's good. We like your sermon. But let's see those books you were teaching out of. In other words, let's go to the Bible and see for ourselves. That's exegesis. But there's also eisegesis. Not what does the text say, but what do I want the text to say? But we said last time that salvation is of the Jews. And we went over these verses probably last time. John chapter 4, verse 22. Ye worship what ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, A.D. 70 was a horrible time. In Israel, the Jewish nation got what they deserved. The king came to take account. They were found wanting, lacking, what have you, and judgment fell. But God has not forgotten the nation of Israel, has not forgotten the Jews, has not forgotten the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's something called replacement theology. Some groups teach it. British Israelism teaches it. If you remember Herbert W. Armstrong, he taught replacement theology. Certain cults teach it, what have you. And this idea, this theology, this false theology, I might add, says that God is done with Israel. That's it. They blew it. 80, 70, it's over. Now it's the church age. And I believe it's the church age. There's no question about that. But they will say that all the promises to Abraham and what have you, forget the Jews, those promises apply to Christians. You know, there was the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. You can go to Jeremiah chapter 31, perhaps. But there's the New Covenant. And Paul said it's a better covenant. I say then, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God forbid. In this chapter, Romans chapter 11, Paul gives a defense of the nation of Israel and says that God is not finished with them. And he talks about a covenant. He talks about promises made to Abraham. He talks about a covenant. He says here in verse 15, for instance, for if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. For thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. And he's talking symbolic language here, but he's referring to AD 70, when the Jews were broken off. And we understand that the church age has been going on for almost 2,000 years. But you know, Christianity didn't just appear out of nowhere. Our Christian doctrine is found in the Old Testament. Our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. Everything we have as Christians comes from the Jews. Remember, we believe in Jesus, but he's King of the Jews. And he says, okay, fine. The nation of Israel was broken off, and now it's the church age. But one day, the nation of Israel will come back to life. And we've seen that in 1948. And one day, they're going to come into the knowledge that we have, that he's Lord and Savior, that he's the Messiah that was promised. One day that'll happen. The next great event in the timeline of the world, as we understand it, is the rapture of the church. That if you're living right, you'll be caught away to be with the Lord in the air. You can go to Thessalonians, for instance, and talk about that. And then the book of Revelation starts, the Great Tribulation. And a lot of the focus on the radio and television, what have you, is about the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will come. But that's not the focus of the tribulation. The Great Tribulation is about bringing Israel to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ while destroying the enemies of Israel and of God. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. Perhaps that's the Battle of Armageddon. But I read the back of the book, and we win. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8, 9, and 10. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And notice what it says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who was pierced? Isaiah chapter 53. We understand that Jesus was nailed to the cross, and a sword pierced his side. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. And one shall say to him, What are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Isn't that what happened? He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, as Isaiah 53 says. He died on the cross. And not 40 years later, the Jews were scattered to every nation in the world. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. This is talking about the great tribulation. It's going to be a rough time for the Jews. Oh, fine, we can talk about people getting saved. We can talk about a lot of things. But again, the tribulation is to refine Israel. And look what it says. Two-thirds of them will die, and only a third be left. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, finally, after 2,000 years, or however long it's going to be. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people. And they shall say, The Lord is my God. One day, all Israel shall be saved, just as Paul prophesied.
My Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Thy power and thine alone. It can change, it can change a leper's spots, and I've seen it melt the heart of stone. I gotta say right now, Jesus, He paid it all.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.